It's time for Query! This week, we are interviewing some folks who are involved in the Bent on Art Festival, which is a festival that celebrates queer and trans artists in the Kootenays. The theme this year is queer and trans resilience, and on that theme, I'm going to first play this song, Survivin' by Bastille, and then we will get to our interviews.
Had a great 7-year white knuckle ride, killing time, flying high as I held on tight to you. To you. Did I blow my mind on the wild side, singing hallelujah to him every night with you. With you. And I'm not gonna lie, say I've been alright, 'cause it feels like I've been living upside down. What can I say? I'm surviving, crawling out these sheets to see another day. What can I say? I'm surviving, and I'm gonna be fine, I'm gonna be fine, I think I'll be.
Hey friends and listeners of Kootenay Co-op Radio. This next hour is Query, and Query is a show that allows us a space to get curious about all topics LGBTQ2S and intersectionality and whatever else comes across our minds and hearts. So welcome and thanks for joining me. Query is recorded and broadcast on the sacred ancestral territory of the Senaigst people, and we're very grateful to be uninvited guests on this land. I'm Axel, I'm one of your hosts, and I'm really excited to share tonight's show with you. I got the chance to interview three different folks who are involved in the currently ongoing Bent on Art Festival, which is a festival to celebrate the artistic pursuits and talents and strengths of the queer and trans community. So that's exciting. There's lots of different events taking place. This is the third annual festival, and they have moved things online. So there's lots of events to enjoy, and we'll learn a little bit more about them in this show. The theme this year is queer and trans resilience, and some of the prompts just to get you thinking about this as we enter the show are as follows. What can queer and trans activists and icons from the past and present teach us about resilience? Do you have a queer or trans icon that you look up to? Why? What qualities do they possess that inspire you? How do you recover from the difficulties and challenges you faced in your life? How do you cultivate softness when the life experiences of racism, classism, homophobia, transphobia, and ableism seem to require a certain level of emotional toughness? So those are some of the prompts for the theme. And it's a really interactive festival this year. There's lots of different ways to enjoy the art and also make your own art and be part of the community. So something that's happening all month is the Bent on Art Challenge. So the best way to get started with that is to follow at Bent on Art Fest on Instagram and like their Facebook page. And yeah, they're inviting people to share their creative pursuits and projects for the whole month, March 1st to 28th. So you can check out the hashtag Bent on Art Challenge. And if you're a creative queer out there, maybe share something. There's also some live art drawing classes happening every Saturday. So you can apply to attend one or the rest of the classes online. Just find out through their Facebook or Instagram. Closer to the end of the month, there's also going to be some events happening. So there is a online music and performance showcase on Saturday, March 27th at 6 p.m. And one of the interviews today is with the folks that are coordinating that show, who are two members of the Dancing Legs drag troupe, Alex and Lev. So we'll hear about that a little bit later. And then on Sunday, March 28th at 7 p.m., there's going to be a virtual art exhibition of the various pieces that artists have been working on throughout the month. They've commissioned six different artists to be creating art every day from March 1st to 28th. And then at the end, it will be showcased in this online exhibition. So lots going on and lots of ways to engage. First up, we have an interview with Samante Cruz, who is the festival director and co-curator. I talked to Samante about how the festival came to be and how it's evolved over time and, you know, come to emerge in this online world that we're living in, as well as the theme and inspiration for this year, queer and trans resilience. So here is my interview with Samante.
Hey, Samante, welcome to Queery. Glad you could be here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So you are the festival director, is that right? Is that your name? Of Bento Art Festival?
And I also co-curated it with Maggie Shirley.
This is the third year, right?
Third year.
Mm-hmm. And how did Bento Art come to be, like, in your first year? What was the inspiration or...
I kind of moved to the Kootenays from Vancouver to go to school to kind of retrain, because I was in an accident. So the former job that I had just wasn't really super accessible for me. So I moved here, went to art school for jewelry and metalsmithing. And along the way, kind of met really amazing artists that also happened to identify as queer and trans. By the time I graduated school, I basically was itching to do some community organizing. My background is in community organizing, so I kind of recovered enough, I think, in terms of just like a break from doing that kind of work. And I was basically just like, just saw so many possibilities in terms of like the people out here. Like, I just felt like it was ripe for like an audience to be receptive to queer and trans artists. Like, I think, yeah. So basically, I was really excited about the idea of putting something together. And initially, it was just, I was just thinking of doing like an art show, like an art exhibition. And then I contacted a few artists that I knew that I thought might be interested in helping. And basically, it just felt as easy to kind of add a little bit to it. So do an art exhibition, we'll do a reception, and we can do some classes. And so that's kind of how it all started. And then it just kind of grew from there. It's like, okay, well, if we're doing a reception, when we do a market, like it just kind of kept growing and growing. And yeah, I mean, it was kind of serendipitous how it all happened. But yeah, I'm really happy that it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting to hear you talk about the, like, your background in community organizing, because, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like when you think about an art festival, it could be seen as like not a political event, or like right. that it's kind of beside that, like the cultural aspect is removed from
right.
Activism. But I really appreciate right. about Bent on Art that it has this this pillar of you know, like lifting marginalized voices, and mm-hmm. that it seems like just in the way that you have organized and set it up and like encouraged you know, people who have multiple marginalized identities, especially to kind of be you know, lifted up. And yeah, I feel like it's just interesting to hear you say that and be like, yeah, like mixing like art and community organizing and like really having it be for the community and for the artists.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was really important to me, like, because I do come from a background of activism and organizing, and like organizing for social change. And to me, it wouldn't be worth it. Like, I wouldn't do it if it couldn't be political. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not worth. I do feel like art changes the world.
Totally.
And I think, you know, I think queer and trans people especially have a lot to say in terms of, you know, life experience, and especially living out here rurally in Nelson and Kootenays. So yeah, that was definitely really important for me. Like, I also identify as Filipino. So moving out here, I do really miss my like queer and trans people of color, like, community. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I was really missing community, which is part of why I started organizing. Because I was just like, okay, I know how to organize. Let's just do it. Let's build it and they will come, kind of a deal, you know, just get stuff going. And I hope it just grows and grows. And yeah.
Yeah, there seems to be a momentum for sure. And like, people are used to it and like expecting it. And I'm sure that the whole pandemic threw a wrench in plans for year three, but it seems like definitely. You've found different ways to adapt to this new world keep it going.
Yeah, definitely. It was like I was basically a year long of talking about what we could do, you know, mm-hmm. and like different parts where I was like, okay, we're not going to do anything. And I was like, no, we are going to do something. So like, I admit, I was kind of going back and forth, mostly because of my own capacity, like 2020 really took it out of me too. And I think, you know, I also have a disability, so just like trying to manage all of that, but also just feeling so passionate about making it happen for people. So luckily I was able to plug awesome people into the project this year to kind of take some of that off my plate, and it's been a lot more sustainable for me, and I think for everybody else too, because it's just like we've got more people on the team now, which is great.
Totally. And I feel like that's like what you're talking about the momentum and hoping it grows, like,
yeah,
having a team and being able to collaborate with people
definitely
just like enriches it.
Yeah, and honestly, that's the whole point of it for me, And it's like, if I'm just organizing it by myself, that's not, I don't get anything out of that. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, I get, what I get out of it is like talking to people and thinking about their ideas and bouncing ideas off each other, you know, doing that kind of team effort. And like, that's the background I come from, is doing like, you know, working with the collective and doing like collective based decision making and like moving forward in that way. Mm-hmm. And just like me, like basically in 2019, I didn't have a ton of support. Like a lot of the people that were originally involved in 2018 had either moved away or like gone on to focus on other things. So 2019 was a big lesson in terms of like, this is actually not sustainable for me, nor is it what I want, is just to kind of be doing it mostly on my own. So that was like kind of a big thing for me in 2021, is like getting the right people involved and making sure that it is sustainable, because there's no point in just like driving myself back into the ground, you know. Mm-hmm. So it feels great to have like Steph involved and be involved, and just all the coordinators, like the Get Some Legs, just like all that energy too. It helps me not feel so overwhelmed by like the scope of it all.
Yeah, and then it becomes like fun, because you're exactly. not just like doing, you know, important work, but you're like doing it with people that you care about and who support you and who share the vision and want it to be great.
Exactly. And like, I think especially with 2020 and COVID, like I knew that it would be good to have a project to work on. And then once we started working on it and like having Zoom meetings, like seriously, there were meetings where I just like laughed the entire time, because it was just so, it was fun. Like I actually really enjoyed it. And I, you know, I knew it'd be valuable to have that connection, but I think I underestimated how, like what a positive impact it would be for me personally just to do it. It felt a bit daunting, to be honest, to go from like an in-person festival to a virtual festival, especially not really having the funding to put on a full virtual festival, because we didn't apply for that funding. So yeah, it's been interesting, but like I'm so glad it's happening. And I think the people that are engaging with it are also finding that kind of connection that I've found. So that makes me really happy.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to any of the life drawing classes yet, but even just seeing like the Bent on Art Challenge, maybe you could explain that, but like seeing people posting on Instagram and just the creativity that's being inspired, it like, it almost feels like it's expanding on past years, because it's making it even more engaging to people. Like it's super accessible to just be doing your own art and uploading it. So can you just explain the Bent on Art Challenge?
Totally. Yeah. And this was like, on to be fair, like, and honestly, this kind of came up in conversation. It wasn't initially something that we had planned for the festival, but when it kind of happened, like in terms of like the community engagement part, I was basically racking my brain in terms of like, how do we put on an art festival and an art exhibition where it's not just like art on a static web page and people can go and look at it and scroll. Like I was just like, I don't want to do that. that's fine, we could do that and we could get money to artists, but I really want to figure out how we can create that community feeling, you know. So beginning of COVID 2020, like in April, I went to my first like Zoom event, and it was a art exhibition out of Seattle called Crusher Pete. And usually it's an in-person art exhibition. And basically the whole idea is they have a group of artists, it's unlimited artists, they have as many as they want, and they challenge the artists to work on a project every day for the month of March. And then at the end of the month, they have an exhibition. Well, because of COVID, they switched to an online format. And so I was actually able to attend for the first time. And I was so inspired just by like what people chose to work on, their projects, the scopes. Like they were just so, it was so varying, so interesting. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, I want to do that for Bent on Art. Like, I was just like, yeah, that has to happen. So I spoke with the organizers, got their okay to kind of do it out here in the Kootenays. And then that's kind of basically how we were going to frame the art exhibition, is to commission six artists, which we have, to create art every day for the month. And then at the end, we're going to show their work. And then basically the Bend on Art Challenge is kind of extending that that challenge to the community, where it's like, at Bent on Art, we really feel like art can build resilience and community connection. And so we think it's really important to kind of try to carve out space in your life for creativity, whatever that looks like. It could be, you know, dancing alone in your kitchen. It could be, you know, baking. It could be writing a song. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be visual art, but just that space to create. And that's kind of how the Bent on Art Challenge was born, just thinking about how we can get the community involved. And I think, yeah, it's been really inspiring for me anyway, just seeing all the creativity that's popping up and people's projects. And yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, totally. I like consider myself a creative person, but I feel like I've been going through a creativity desert in a way.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to get the, I don't know, motivation to start somewhere. And seeing various people, friends and community members, like, posting their art and like what they're up to, it does give you that sense of community that I feel like has been really lost. Like, queer community since COVID is just like, honestly haven't talked to very many people since like last year, like, and it just feels like this weird vacuum. So yeah, I feel really grateful for that happening. And you know, like, creativity, it's so good for your mental health. It's so good for just, like, expressing yourself. And, like, we all need that right now.
Totally. And, like, I'm actually participating as a Crush Repeat artist this year, which I'm excited about. And, like, seriously, I have hardly been in my studio because I've just been so overwhelmed with, like, the state of the world and just the reality we're living in. And it's been hard to feel excited about getting creative. And honestly, you know, today will be day 7 of me spending time in my studio. My mental health is so much better, and I'm just like giving myself the gift of time to create, and it's been so good for me. And like, again, it's like I knew it'd be good for me to do, and then I definitely underestimated how actually good it is for me personally.
Yeah, these like mental health things that it's like, yes, I know that I should exercise or drink some water, like, but I just don't want to. But then when you do, it's like, oh gosh, that's so good.
Totally. Yep. It's like, yeah, I don't know, maybe for a lot of people, but for me, I feel like I've been in and out of like a freeze, like trauma response, like just like frozen about most things. And so like, having something to motivate me to just get up and be in my body and like be present, and then seeing other people do it, it just feels supportive and yeah, exciting. It's like, I want to post, I want to do something because I want to post and I want to see what other people are doing. Like, it's genuinely exciting.
That like support and affirmation from community as well, when it's like, yeah, that's great. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's important. It's important for us to be seen. What are some other ways people can participate in different activities and Bent on Art things you got going on?
Sure. So Bent on Art Challenge, basically, yeah, people can just, we have like an entry post. People can get all the entry rules there. But basically, you'll follow us and use the hashtag Bent on Art and just share any creative project that you're working on. And like, we essentially like are an open book in terms of interpretation on what creativity is. So anything flies, really. The other things people can do are, every Saturday this month, we are having a queer and trans life drawing class where we have queer and trans models basically posing. And then instructor who will basically teach folks how to draw bodies and life and queer and trans bodies, which is amazing. So that's every Saturday. Again, people can head to our Instagram, Bent on Art Fest, or Facebook and get a link to our website and registration for that. And then the end of the month, we'll be having on Saturday the 27th, we'll be having a performance event where we'll have a bunch of different artists from drag, songwriters, poets, a taiko group called Onibana Taiko. So that will be on Saturday, March 27th at 6 p.m. And then the last event that we'll have is basically the virtual art exhibition where we'll show all the work that our six Bent on Art Challenge artists have created. They'll get to talk about their concepts and basically just show their entire body of work for the month. So yeah, that's kind of our lineup.
That's a lot. That's a lot happening. Usually the festival yeah. takes place over like a shorter time frame, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like a marathon.
It is, yeah. It's basically we were allowed to basically only 28 days to do all the events that we wanted, and because this virtual format, we thought it'd be better to kind of spread it out over a month instead of kind of trying to get everybody to do online things just for a week. So
yeah, totally. It gives you a break from yeah. the screen.
Exactly.
And just draws out the magic.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think we all kind of need it, especially just coming out of winter.
Well, and the life drawing class, is that like a drop-in or do you have to sign up for all of the sessions?
Yeah, so basically you can sign up for either one or all classes when you register. And then basically we're trying to prioritize queer and trans people of color in the Kootenays, and then we'll basically let other folks in after we kind of prioritize those folks. But so essentially you would apply, then you'll hear back to us in terms of which classes are available to you.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, I participated last year and I don't really consider myself like a visual artist or someone who like draws a lot, right. but I you know, was like, oh, I'll like try it. And like, it's a class, I'll yeah. learn some things. And it was really great. And like Nadia is an awesome teacher.
Right.
So I'm glad that they could come back in this virtual format.
Yeah, me too. They're such a talented instructor and just such good vibes in that class last year. So it's exciting that we're still able to make it happen this year.
Nice. Did we miss talking about anything or have we kind of covered it?
The only thing that I had left to talk about was just maybe talk a little bit about the theme of the
year. Ask you.
Yeah, so this year's theme is queer and trans resilience. So that's what we're essentially asking the six artists that we have in our exhibition to create art around. And again, it's like kind of their interpretation of what that means to them and how to best express that through their art form. But essentially, when Maggie Shirley and I were talking about, you know, what the theme could be for 2021 and just thinking back on 2020 in terms of like COVID, like this, you know, huge health pandemic, as well as the killing of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement, we just kind of reflected on how queer and trans people have had similar experiences in our history in terms of HIV AIDS epidemic, as well as the Stonewall riots and, you know, trans women of color rising up against police violence. So essentially that's kind of how we came to the idea of queer and trans resilience, because we feel like, you know, there's a reason and there's a way that we have survived. Basically, we've survived what we're experiencing right now. It was different, but it's actually very similar in a lot of ways. So trying to draw out those gifts that we can teach each other and the gifts we can learn from our queer and trans elders' history. So yeah, that's kind of the theme for the year, is queer and trans resilience.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate like those historical pieces and just like tying it in, and it makes me think about the quote from Tony Cade Bombera, who said it's the artist's job to make revolution irresistible. Right. And yeah, just this idea of like connecting with community, even though it's hard, it's harder than it has been, and lifting up like that resilience and the like the wisdom of existing in in queer and trans bodies, like that's really cool. I can't wait to see all of the art that comes out of this month.
Yeah, me too. I'm really happy and excited about it. Thanks so much for interviewing me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. It's nice to hear a little bit more about kind of like how it came to be and what you're trying to do. And thanks for doing this work and organizing such an awesome festival.
My pleasure. I love it.
Feeling blessed that I'll be blessing distress is with this track. Matter of fact, the obvious blessings rest within our breast, beating chest, beating hearts from the start, bleeding scars, bleeding hearts, passion, food, and feeding stars, feeding futures with our art. Thinking back to when I first met these stars, the light shed so bright, lit up the night, forgot it was dark. Rapping, take action, and passion, lasting impressions made Mars. On me, I see you, I hear you, I got your back from the start. Mommy, mommy, did you see what she did, what she did? Tatooine, what you mean? I mean, patriarchy is f***ing up everyone, she is biggest motherfucker, and we displace it from what we should be. She's a forced awakening, she's a forced awakening. We're before awake again, she'll restore and make again. And again and again and again and again. Cause y'all know we're the warriors cleaning up after these men.
I'm a million, million killies, and you feel me from the distance. On freedom, but they won't defeat us. I do it barefoot in heels or with my Adidas. You walk the talk, your ignorance got me saying what the f***. Excuse me if you feel unamused. These stand up by some but the dudes. From social change, we break loose. What's on the news? Not me. I'm sizzling, I'm living, and I'm fitting, and I'm no man. I can't put you in your place. Man, I can. Oh, yes, sir. No, I mean, yes, her. Proud black African woman. Judging my hurt. Does she keep? Does she read? None of your magazine appropriation, please. Had to create my own universe. Pushing out for you to hear my words. My mama told me to love my true word. It must be a man's world, but your mother's earth. Let my lioness disassemble in the herd, you heard? Here's the pride, got our classes, independent classes. Hit the mother pauses from my mothers and sisters who stand for the causes. I said, we never failing. Sisterhood, we celebrating. From the jungle to the streets, our footprints always lead. I'm no Simba, no Nala, no cub. I'm a grown woman, and that's what's up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, come on. I release the lioness in my lines. Filipina goddess keeping my stars alight. Women hold up half the sky. Only call me mama when you comment on my instincts. Maternal when I'm spitting, giving birth to new beginnings. From Genesis to Revolution, get your hands up. If you're for the people, get your motherfucking hands up. Indigenous getting free, land defending and sending a pizza. Seize is your disease, why we pulling a medical freeze? Nah. But Kim Water never cease. I see the beauty in my beast mode. Said he cut my teeth on that independent shit. I get no sleep, so hold a hat. Crack insomniac, I haunt my dreams. They got me staying woke. Lady Dragon with my cannon, only bragging about the woman who have held me up. Stepped into her jungle book, dance up on her bush. Robin Hood, think you hot shit. Yeah, I never met the sisterhood.
That was Jungle by Kim Mortal featuring Jilfy and Missy D, and you're listening to Queery on CGLY 93.5 FM Kootenai Co-op Radio. Today we are getting to know some of the collaborators involved in putting on the Bent on Art Festival this year, which is taking place over the month of March. So next up, I have an interview with two folks who are two-thirds of the Dancing Legs drag troupe. Their names are Alex and Lev, and they are stars in the local drag scene. And if you've never been to one of their shows, well, you can correct that because there's going to be an online show at the end of the month. So stay tuned for more info on that, March 27th. And yeah, they're some talented performers, and I was really excited to be able to talk with them. So here is that interview.
Hi, welcome to Cleary. I'm glad we finally got the Dancing Legs on the show. Hello, Alex and Lev. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hi, pretty good yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited to hear about about your drag troupe. Do you call yourselves a troupe? And the upcoming performance for Bent on Art. Really happy to have you here.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
How long have you been in Nelson doing drag?
There's a lot of questions. This question. we've been doing drag for probably 3-4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in Nelson about 5 years now, and Alex.
7 years. I've been in Nelson for 7 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what inspired you? How did the Dancing Legs come to be? Can you tell me the story?
Yeah. So what first comes to mind is we were Alex, Marjorie, and myself. We were at Backroads one day, and there was a burlesque performance coming up that Sherry Perry, Vesper Valentine, was producing.
Yeah.
And we're like, let's just apply. Like we've never really done this before. We all have performance experience, but we were inspired by drag recently before that, watching RuPaul's Drag Race, and we're like, why not? Let's send in an application and see what happens.
Yeah, fake it till you make it. And we just applied.
So have you ever done drag performance before, or just different kinds of performance and then you wanted to try drag?
I think three of us have stage experience by theater, circus, acting, mm-hmm. dance. Like we kind of all... Yeah, we were all part of that kind of stage world. So drag, it's kind of a good, I don't know, it wraps everything together in a way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
With some gender fun.
Yes.
Even more fun.
Yeah. And then after that first performance, it just, the ball kind of kept rolling. After that, it was just nonstop for the next 2.5 years in person, and then switching to online once things after the pandemic hit.
And I think we start producing and we realized there were big needs for that, because
mm-hmm.
all of our show has been sold out, mm-hmm. and it tells a lot, you know. You're like, okay, that means people want it, that means people mm-hmm. see it, mm-hmm. people want to be involved, people want to be entertained that way. So, and uh-huh. there's a beautiful queer community here. So yeah, it kind of
just made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about the drag scene, like the history in Nelson. I'm assuming there's been, you know, kind of waves of queer people getting together and performing and doing their thing, but it's been really exciting to be here for the past few years and feel like the excitement that it seems like has kind of swirled around the Dancing Legs a little bit. And cool that you just started from wanting to do a performance and then realizing that, you know, there's also this need for people to coordinate and like support other performers in doing their thing and in creating that space that there's this whole community.
Yeah, I think it's well said. We realize we should create a safe platform for everyone that wants to try drag or wants to do drag, you know.
Because a lot of the people who had been in our shows were people who had come to a show before and they saw the performance and they're inspired and were like, okay, I'll apply for the next one. Like, just getting up there and doing anything is exactly what we wanted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had the same experience before in poetry slams, where I remember the first poetry slam I went to and I was like, I want to do that. Oh my gosh, I need to be on that stage. And I feel like it makes sense that people, you know, come to a show and then are like, I need to try this, you know, I need to perform.
And also the fact that we're doing drag in a very more rural environment, it adds something more fun, I want to say, and something more accessible, because often drag, it's often related to big town, to big cities. So when you live in quite a rural place like where we live, it can be non-accessible for some people. You're like, oh, it's just a Vancouver thing. But it's not, you know.
Yeah, and the like uniqueness that comes from people not having like preconceived ideas about what drag is, like allows them to be more creative and themselves and not have to fit into like mold of like drag queens look like this and do this and perform like this.
Exactly.
That's definitely a thing in the cities too, you know. We've collaborated with some people from Vancouver and they've said, yeah, it's very, there's like a way to do it, you know, there's a type of drag that you're doing in Vancouver, and if you're not fitting in that box, then it's nice having that freedom here.
Yeah, I think we're more humble maybe in the way we do drag here. There's no rules, there's no competitions, we're just supporting each other.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of competitions though, I do have to thank you, Alex, for telling me about Canada's Drag Race, because you shared that with me and then I told my partner and we were watching America's Drag Race, and he was so excited because he'd already seen like all of the seasons, and so he was re-watching it with me, but then we got to watch Canada's Drag Race together and neither of us knew, you know, what was going to happen, and then we started watching UK Drag Race, and now we've got on the whole international enterprise, the franchise. But hearing you talk about the like kind of local scene and the freedom there, it made me think of like the comparison between Canada's Drag Race and like the main RuPaul's Drag Race, in that the Canadian queens really like, and I know it was like very Toronto based and a lot of the competitors were kind of in that area, but there was like a real difference in like the just what people were doing, and it was really cool to see. I hope there'll be another season.
I'm sure.
Can you tell me a bit about how you two met and what your story is? And
Do you want me to go?
Because I know the Dancing Lights is you and then also Marjorie. So there's a trio, but you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
Sure are.
Yeah, you can start.
Actually we've met at OSO. Like two customer basically that it started with a look. And we had someone in common. I remember that day when I saw Lev for the first time entering OSO Negro, I was with my friend and I was like, oh my god, look at that guy. And she knew him because they were cherry picking that summer together. And so I was just like, wow, here's an open door for me. And we invite you for dinner and the rest, it's history.
Yeah, it started out, I was just coming through Nelson in passing. And then I wasn't living anywhere at that moment. I was kind of in between deciding if I was going to move to Montreal or Victoria. And then, yeah, I met Alex in that one day and we had a potluck that night. But the next day I was leaving already. So I was like, okay, nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think it was about like 5 days later, I was in Tofino with a group of my friends. And yeah, Alex rented a car and came out to Tofino and we spent a few weeks together. And then, yeah, a month later.
You moved to my place.
Yeah, I moved to Nelson. And yep. Here we are 5 years later.
My gosh, my heart. When you're saying the potluck and I'm leaving the next day, it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The drama. And it was worth it. 100%. Yep.
100%.
Wow, very Nelson love story, meeting at Oso Negro.
Yeah, pretty much.
You had a mutual cherry picking friend and you went to a potluck. I'm just
yes.
How many people have this similar story?
Exactly. I know, right?
And yet renting a car and going to Tofino, that's a serious move. That is a romantic gesture right there.
Oh yes, and I remember doing that completely. I was like, I don't know where that relationship will go, but if it's gonna be just a summer love, a week of romance, that it's gonna be it. I was kind of ready to have my heart broke. But I was like, I just want to go to the to the end of that relationship, like
just try it.
Yeah, just trying. Yeah. And uh-huh. Jumping. Yes.
And so now you have a life together and also are part of this creative two cats.
Yes.
And then are part of this creative endeavor of, you know, being involved in this amazing drag community. And you're helping to produce this show, or you're producing this show for Bent on Art at the end of the month. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we've been involved with Bent on Art in the past as performers. And then, so this year they had reached out to us to produce their performance event. So Bent on Art is gonna be having a live, it's not live, it's pre-recorded, but a performance event on Saturday, March 27th at 6 p.m. So there is gonna be a Facebook event up for that. With a link to get free tickets. So it is a free event. And
So
Bent on Art, we're...
Bent on Art at the end of the month. Bent on Art, it's already started. There's few, you folks can follow Bent on Art on Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Art challenges, market eventually, promoting artists. So yeah. It's been pretty exciting, pretty fun.
But the show is going to be, it's going to be great. We have a variety of different kinds of performances, from poetry reading to burlesque to
drag
to drumming to everything.
Singing, yes.
It's quite a diverse group. So it's going to be a very, very cool show for sure.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. And how has it been... moving your shows online, because I know this isn't the first, like I know you were involved in Art Walk in the summer, right?
We did
the Mural Fest. Mural Fest.
Yeah. Mural Fest. It's kind of another challenge. Mm-hmm. The Mural Fest was more of a live event. So as us, it's pre-recording, but yeah, I think the Mural Fest was kind of a tease of what the virtual can be.
Mm-hmm.
And as there's nothing to do right now in person, it's very hard to perform in person. I think we just have to take the opportunity and keep doing our art and keep, I don't know, inspiring others. Mm-hmm. Even though it's virtual, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's definitely been some challenges for sure moving virtually. Just figuring out to copyright things, and it's just a different way of communicating with people over email and digitally, and it's a different relationship that you form with the artists. Yeah. Because we usually, yeah, we'll meet everyone before the shows and in person, and that really creates a strong foundation between everyone.
Yeah.
So now it's trying to recreate that digitally, but everyone is super understanding and we're all learning together. So
it's a learning curve.
It's a learning curve, and yeah, everyone is aware that we're all learning together. So it's really nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there a theme to the show, or is it more just of a variety
of things?
Yeah.
Yes. This year it's a variety.
For this time around, it's a variety.
Cool. And it's funny because every time I walk by that that mural, I think of your performance. Like it's almost like I can imagine it happening in real life. But I guess for this show, there's people kind of from Nelson and also like Kootenays and broader, right? Like there's people who are going to be joining from Vancouver, right? The Onibana Taiko.
Onibana Taiko from Vancouver.
We have
Seattle, I'm pretty sure.
Mother Girth.
Yeah, Mother Girth from Calgary.
Victoria,
right? Yes. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Like that's an interesting aspect of the online, is that it makes it easier to like bring in really cool performers in a way.
So that's kind of the beauty of it, you know.
And then even with the event too, people all across the country can access Bent on Art this year. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
See, like for example, our family that lives, we're both from East. Our family can just log in and watch the show and support us that mm-hmm. way, which is amazing.
Yeah, totally. I'm so excited. And I'm so excited for, you know, a post-COVID world when we can get together again and all dance together. Do you have any like big dreams for whenever that time comes? Are you gonna plan a big blowout show with the show to end all shows?
It's probably coming.
It's gonna have to be in a pretty big venue. I feel like the whole town will have to come.
I know, right?
I can't wait until we can all dance together again.
Yes, and just be backstage and all that all that buzz around the stage. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, well,
but it's just temporary, you know. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be back eventually, so mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, we can get together online March 27th.
There we go.
I can't wait.
March 27th, 6 p.m.
I didn't ask you in advance, but since it's a radio show, we get to play music. Is there a song that each of you would like to play on today's show? You can also think about it and get back to me.
That's a good one. We have this one song that we listened to when we met in Tofino on a beach. So that could be a fun one.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you it right now?
Yeah, sure.
It's called Help Me Lose My Mind by Disclosure. And they are not Canadian, but
it's worth it to listen.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, we have good memory with that song.
And hopefully others can create good memories when they hear it.
Well, thanks for sharing a little bit about your story and this show. It's been really nice to finally get y'all on the radio.
Yes.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's been so nice talking.
It's been very nice.
Yeah. I guess we'll see you on the 27th.
We'll be there.
We'll be there, and there's no reason to not be there because it's free.
It's free.
Yeah. Perfect.
Talk to me and watch me crumble. You will see me come undone. Faithfully, I will look over. You become.
Help Me Lose My Mind by Disclosure featuring London Grammar, which was Alex and Lev's song choice for this episode. They said that it was a song they both enjoyed when they started dating. So we heard the beginning of their love story, and now we have a soundtrack. Thanks for listening to Query. We are here every other Monday at 6 and every other Sunday at noon. And we also publish our content on Spotify. So check us out there if you want to listen to past episodes. I hope that everyone will engage with the Benton Art Festival in whatever way suits them and take it as an excuse to get creative. I know that I am feeling inspired. Lots of love from my queer little heart to you. Until next time.